opening hymn, hymn number 335. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all your blessings. We thank you for your creative power. We thank you for Jesus, who died for our sins, who's mediating before the Father for us as we speak. Come into our hearts and our lives, fill us with your Spirit, and may this morning spent with you prepare us for heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior! We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior! What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He walks beside me all the way. What a wonderful Savior, and keeps me faithful day by day. What a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a
boys and girls, it's time for the Lamb's Offering. Remember, the Lamb's Offering is for special children's programs, so go ahead, boys and girls, and go around and bring money up from the grown-ups, okay? And then when we're all done, you can come and sit up here for Children's Story. I see people holding up some money, boys and girls. Make sure you get that. There's some in the choir too. Thank you. When you're all done, go ahead and have a seat up on the steps, boys and girls. Okay, go ahead and bring your offerings up here now. Thank you, church family, for your generosity. This is beautiful. Look at all this offering. All right. Frank, excuse me. There we go. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you? Thank you for helping with the Lamb's offering. It's a great offering that helps with your programs. Well, today I'm going to tell you something about a little bit of what I do at work. I work at the School of Dentistry in Loma Linda, and I help with all kinds of student things. And one of the things that I do is I will often get food for meetings or for students. You know, students are poor and they're hungry all the time. And if there's food left over after a meeting, I try to find some students where they find the food. They can smell it and they come and get leftovers. So one time we were going to feed pizza to a bunch of the students, and I made a big, huge bowl full of salad. I had all kinds of different lettuce in there and fresh spinach. We put tomatoes in, cucumbers, there were carrots, and there were beans. All kinds of good stuff was in this big salad, and the students ate a whole bunch. But there was so much left over. So I thought, I'm going to call my daughter because she's married to a student too, and they're poor and they're going to need some food. So I called my daughter, and the phone didn't ring and she didn't answer hello. I could hear them talking though, and they were obviously in a restaurant because I could hear them saying, "What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want?" Well, why don't we just get salad? And I'm thinking, Stephanie, I have salad. I have so much salad for you. And then I heard, why don't we get one salad and share it? I said, no. Here I was way down in the bottom of Stephanie's big yellow purse calling, Stephanie, Stephanie, I have salad. And she couldn't hear me. So I thought, I'm going to hang up really quickly. So I hung up and dialed her number again, and I hoped she would answer. And this time she said, hello? Stephanie, you don't need to share a salad. I have so much salad for you and Stuart. She stopped, didn't say anything. And then all of a sudden she started laughing. She goes, Mom, how did you know? And I said, because I'm your mother. Boys and girls, we have a Father in heaven that knows everything that we need. He knows everything that we want. He wants us to trust Him to give us the things that we need. He doesn't want us to have to worry about the things we need to buy and the things that we need to eat. And so we need to always trust in Him to give us, because He has an abundance of what we need, more than we could ever want. And you know, the other thing that's really neat about that is not only does He give us the things we need, but He has what other people need. And as a church family here, God asks us, He uses us to help give other people what He wants them to have so we can share with them. Boys and girls, let's bow our heads as we pray to God. Dear God, thank you for being our Father. Thank you so much for knowing what we need before we even ask for it. And Lord, thank you that you choose to use us to help provide needs for those around us. Help every boy and girl here to remember that and to let you live out in their lives so that we can touch the lives of others with your special love and the things that you give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
It's a working church. Send a blessing.
Oh, shoot.
Should work.
Should work?
Okay.
What, we'll trade. I want to have this voice that everybody can hear me, even if I don't have a microphone. Our church, it's a very blessed church because it's a working church. When you first come here and you see all the departments working, it's just a blessing. But God has made us participants of those blessings. Our offering today is to help church budget with whatever the church may need, whether it's a new display of, you know, letting our neighbors know our services when they start and when they're finished, or whether we need four different departments. So from the blessings that God has given you, you give back. And we're going to ask our deacons and deaconess to stand so we can pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because you first loved us. And because of all the blessings that you give us, we're giving you back. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good morning, church family. This morning, I was thinking, you know, we're already 3 weeks into January, so has anybody been able to stick to their New Year's resolutions already for the whole time? Anybody? Well, kind of the cool thing in God speaking to us through his word is that in the chapters 5 through 7 in Matthew, there's a lot of red letters in there, Jesus talking to us directly, and the Sermon on the Mount is really fantastic. There's so many things in there to glean from. But in particular, as we're thinking about prioritizing our lives in the new year, there's one verse that Jesus directs us exactly what it is that we should have as our first priority. So if you'll turn in your Bibles, if you have one with you, to Matthew 6, verse 33. I'm reading from New International Version. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Pretty simple and pretty profound words for us to take to heart and to wake up every morning and commit to. If you will join me where it's possible to kneel together, and we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, it's so good to be here together to worship you as a family. Every member has need of your love, and you've made provision for that in such an incredible way by the blessing of being willing to sacrifice your son Jesus to come and become our example and, more than that, our Savior. Amen. This morning, we thank you for all the gifts you've blessed this church with. For music, for the opportunity to understand healthful living and be able to share that with those in our community, those around us, for the message of truth that your word provides us and the enhancement that Mrs. White is able to share in her spirit of prophecy. We're grateful for the Sabbath too, for the rest that it affords us, and that we can stop and recognize our need of you and get closer to you as we worship now this morning. Father, as we're grateful, we're also needful, and we know in our humanness that we sin, and we seek your forgiveness for that, but even beyond that, we have needs in terms of health concerns, financial concerns, discouragements of many kinds. And Father, you know those needs even before we come to you and ask for your help, but we pray now for that very thing, that you'll bring comfort to those that need it, healing to those that need that. And please open doors that will help people as they're looking for jobs or just seeking to know you better. Father, we're grateful for our young people and for Christian education. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless each of those students and the teachers and administrators at Linda Vista and Caneo and Newbury Park Academy, that you'll watch over them, help them in these young years as they're learning both their studies, but more so about how they want to live their life for you. Especially now, Father, as we seek you in prayer, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to please open our hearts and minds, and especially that you'll grant Pastor Will the words that you would have for us to hear. Let him speak your words, and let us understand and put them into practice in our lives each day. Thank you for hearing our prayer, Lord, and for giving us both your word to teach us and the opportunity to talk with you in prayer. Help us to use those tools every day. We thank you. We pray for your forgiveness. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning again, church family. I don't know about you, but I'm happy for the rain. I want to see these hills green again. It's been brown for too long. Amen? Well, what was your impressions of last Sabbath? Was it different? Yeah? Are you ready to see what you guys put down? That's what today's about. Today is entitled Our Family Values. And if you weren't here from last week, our deacons are ready to put in your hands a special piece of paper. So if you weren't here last week, can you help the deacons know if you weren't by raising your hands? Raise your hands if you were not here last week, visitors included. If you didn't make it last week, we've got something just for you. Be sure you have a pen or pencil as well. We'll give them time, and audiovisual is coming up. We have three in the back yet. Sorry, four in the back. All right, as you're getting the papers, they should look like this. One side is completely blank. All it has is a list of numbers. And on the reverse side is a set of questions. Today, we'll be reviewing what last week we filled out on this side. You guys follow? This is what we're going to talk about today, what you guys filled out last week. For those who weren't here last week, this is your opportunity to fill these out as we go through it. Is that all right? I think everybody's got it. Okay, good. Are we good in the audiovisual? Good to go? Let's see if this works. All right, I'm going to try it. Oh, good. Oh, joy. All right. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we've gathered here today, Lord, to give our hearts, our love, and our time to you, we thank you for being with us. You've promised that wherever two or more to gather, Lord, to worship you, you'd be here with us. Lord, we ask for your spirit to fall on our hearts and our minds as we discuss and review what we value here as a church. Lord, we want to do what you've called us to do. We want to be like you, talk like you, walk like you. We want to have your values, and we want to go about it the way that you would want us to go about it. Bless me, Lord, as I speak. Fill my heart, Lord, with you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Our family values. Can everybody see this? Is this bright enough? All right, these are three gears, and this is what I'm going to do to visually catch you back up with what last week was about. Last week, we did a survey about vision, mission, and values. Values, mission, and vision. Today, we're going to review your values, what you put on last week. And what's so important about values is your values will drive your mission and vision as a church. We're going to review some in Scripture as Jesus operating on this model. It was Jesus' values that drove his mission here on earth. It was his values that drove his vision as well. These things he communicated to his disciples, and these are the ways that his church was to grow and to operate. If you were a follower of Jesus, you valued what Jesus valued. You did what Jesus did. You liked what Jesus liked, you loved how Jesus loved, and you did what Jesus did. So, here we go. For those of you who have a blank sheet of paper, on this side, 1 through 5 on the top, this is what we're going to review from last week. We split the church into two groups, actually three groups last week. All the parents and children from birth to youth went into the fellowship hall, and I had a message for them, and everybody else stayed in here with Pastor Dennis, and he had a message just for them. So what we're going to review is the main church that stayed in here last week. And what I did was, out of all the values that were listed, I collected the top five, the ones that were repeated the most, and we put them together in a top five list. Now, how many values, you ask, did the main body of the church have? It was a lot, and it's good. They're all good values. We had at least 35 or 40 values that were all significantly different. It's a good thing. But here's the top five of the main church that stayed here last week. Number one, Christ. And again, this is, what are your top five current values as a follower of Jesus? Number two, prayer and family. They came in as a tie. Good so far, right? Number three, service. Four, outreach. And five was truth. And I put truth down as kind of a coverall word. It was Bible study, gospel, things like that. It was kind of a catch-all word. These were the top five values, personal values, that members in this body last week put down. Let's go on to what the parents' top five values were last week in that room. Curious? Here we go. Number one, family. You would think, right? Parents. Number two was love. Three, fellowship. Four, worship. Five was stewardship. I wasn't expecting that one, but that was a very strong common value. Are you ready for what the kids wrote down? Here we go. Number one, love. Number two, family. Number three, worship. Four, friends. Number five, Jesus and service. These are good things, amen? All right. So these are the top five personal values that you have currently as a follower of Jesus. So everybody who's scrabbling down or writing down what you are listing in your top five, tell me when you're ready to move on to the next set of questions. You guys ready? Everybody, have you written yours down, Zach? You finished your top five? Okay, good. Let's move on to the second question set. Here we go. What are the top five values of the Camarillo Seventh-day Adventist Church as they are now? We'll start with the main body of the church that stayed here with Pastor Dennis. Here we go. Number one, relationships. Number two, and a tie, was health and youth. Three was openness. That was that word repeated at least eight or nine times. Openness. Four was service. And five was truth and outreach. It came in as another tie. Truth and outreach. All right. Are you ready for what the parents said about the current values of their churches? Here we go. Fellowship. Number two, family music came in as a tie. Number three was service. Number four is a catch-all. This one, there was a triple tie. Truth, food, and evangelism. Don't knock food. It's a good thing. Jesus used it a lot in his ministries, as you can recall, right? It's good stuff. All right, this is what the youth said about the current values of the church. There was no number five. The fifth one was it was so minimal that it wasn't a common value. So I just caught them all in four. Make sense? All right. The youth said family. They said food. And you guys do food very well at this church. Their stomachs don't lie. Number three, outreach, love, and fellowship. A triple tie again. Four was worship. Five was Jesus. All right. That's what your kids told you about what we value currently. Pretty good stuff. All right. The next question, the bottom set of five. So now you should be on this part. What should or could the top five values of Camarillo Church be? Now, a lot of people just repeated what they are currently, and that's a good thing. But it was an opportunity for people to, well, think about what could be. Where do they think we could go or where we should go? And this is what the main church put down. Christ. Number two, evangelism. Three was family. Four was truth. And five was a triple tie. They said relationships, love, community. And for the parents, this is what they put. Fellowship, evangelism, family and service, love, and worship. The kid said this, love, friendship, acceptance or openness, fellowship, and worship. So this is a lot of data, right? Now we've got to have a slide that shows what all this means. Did we have any comparisons or similarities throughout the entire group? Question is, yeah, there was. Here we go. These are the common values throughout the groups, generations, and throughout the questions. Here we go. So your personal values in the main church, their second value, it was family. In the parents, the first value was family, and for the youth, the second was family. So in your personal values, this church values as a whole family. Amen. The current Camarillo values, there was a tie between two things. Here we go. For the main church, their first one, remember, was relationships, and their fifth one was outreach. Now, I don't think I stretched it, but when I put down fellowship, I kind of linked it to relationships. Would you go along with that idea? Yeah? Okay. So we all hold in common fellowship, relationships, and outreach. And what they could be was, I think that was a flyer, sorry. It was fellowship as well. This is what we all hold in common. I'm going to give you a chance now on the tithe envelopes, not the tithe envelopes, the visitor cards. I'm going to pause a moment, and I'm going to ask all of you to, after you've seen all these values and stuff, do you see anything missing? What value have you noticed, or values have you noticed, are absent? Your time is yours. I'll give you some time. Think about what all that we put on the board or up on the screen, all the values that the main body talked about, the parents and the kids. Was anything missing? Put it down for me on a tithe envelope or the visitor card. Go. Think, think, think. We'll give you a couple moments. Think, think, think. What didn't you see in any of those lists? Keep thinking about that and writing, and I'm going to go to the next slide, or begin the next slide. Okay, today's texts, we're going to read all out of Matthew. And our opening text today was with Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. I chose this text this morning to get us into the heart and to the mind of Jesus. What was his mindset here on this earth? We understand a lot about his time here and his mission, but what things was he teaching or trying to get his followers to understand and to believe? Certainly one of the things that he would talk about and oftentimes would go in one ear and out the other in terms of understanding was this kingdom business. Turn with me if you would. Matthew 6, I'm going to read verse 33. I'm going to start in 31. Therefore, don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its troubles now. Now certainly the context of his conversation was about troubles, needs. How are we tying this into values? Well, here's what I see in this. Jesus was trying to help them get a base value set. He says, look, if your values are like mine, your worries, what you confront in your life, whether good, bad, or whatever, are going to confront these values. If you value the kingdom, you've got a whole different context to receive what life throws at you. You guys following? When things came Jesus' way, people were astonished about how he handled them or responded to them. He was very secure in his relationship with his Father, and he was very secure in his understanding of reality or the kingdom. He got the big picture. He understood that there was a beginning and an end, and this was his grounding. Whatever was said about him, he already understood the kingdom. He understood his Father. Whatever lies were said about him, say what you want. I know the kingdom. I know who I am, and I know why I'm here. And this was one of the things he was trying to get his disciples to grasp and to understand. He knew the future that was in store for them. He knew that the trials that they were going to face, some were going to face terrible things, death, persecution. But he knew that if they had a set of values that gave them a grounding and a reality to handle it, they could face all things. You ever read some of the stuff Paul wrote about his experiences? How could a man not just, he wasn't bragging, but he was almost brushing off his experiences that he was physically undergoing. Torture, imprisonment, shipwrecks, snake bites, all this stuff. Didn't bother him. I'm sure most of us in this room and congregation, I think we might have a peep of complaint about all of that. But his mind was in the mind of Christ. He understood he was working for a kingdom that had already come and that soon would come to full fruition. He understood that one day this reality would be over. There would be a new heaven, new heavens, and a new earth. All these kingdoms that we experience throughout history will be wiped away. That's where he was working on. That's where Paul was at. That's where Jesus was at. And that's a value set that Christ wants us to have. Do we value the kingdom? Is that part of when you wake up in the morning, do you recognize that you are a child of God and an emissary of the kingdom of heaven? Does that consume you? Do you filter everything that you go throughout the day with this mindset? I'm a part of a kingdom of God. When trouble comes your way, do you understand that you have the King of the universe as not only your Savior, your King, but he's your friend? He's your Father? God has tried in all these ways to express just how close he wants to get to you and how he can get to you. When we don't have this, when we don't have these values, we all understand as adults what life can do to us. It can get the best of us. Let's turn to Matthew 15, 10 through 20. Now this one I bring up as to what Christ values when he looks at us. What does God really value about you and I? Turn with me to Matthew 15, 10 through 20. And I added this just so that we can get our minds thinking about not just about us and what we need to value, but if we look at it from his perspective, what's the overall picture? What's the overall point in God having a relationship with us? What is he really after? What's his core value? Matthew 15, 10 through 20. This is a piece about what defiles a person. And he called the people to him and he said, "Hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person." The disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, they will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable, Lord." And he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Some have guile. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile anybody." Here, Jesus is giving them a perspective check. They're in a faith and a religious system that's very focused on being with God. That's their point. They want to get next to God. They want to be righteous. Jesus is helping them understand what righteousness is. From God's perspective, what's he looking for? Is he looking for behavior, or is he looking for where the behavior comes from? Jesus points it out. It's your heart that what God looks at. You can behave well but have a rotten heart. Can you not? You can have self-control and hide your actions, but you can't hide your heart from God. It's the heart that what is God values and is after, and what he can heal and change. Third one. I list this one because this is a personal one for me. One of the things that I noticed that wasn't on any of the lists was discipleship. This is what God has called us to as a church, as a fellowship, as a body. We are called to live like this. As he lived with his disciples, we are called to live with like as a family. This is how we're to behave. If that hits a chord, this is how we're to live. This is how we're to grow. This is how the world is to know Jesus, through this model, discipleship. We find this in Matthew 28, 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age." His last command to do things was to disciple, make them. Discipleship is something that not only in the Adventist church, but most Christianity through the last couple hundred years has been kind of misunderstood. We've had to really have checks, go back into the Hebrew, into the Greek of what this word means. And we touched on it in these values that we had on the screen. Discipleship involves fellowship. It involves friendship. It involves relationships. It really does. And that's what encouraged me about what I saw this week when I was going through all these pieces of paper. I'm seeing the foundations of a good thing. I'm seeing the foundation of what can make discipleship work in a church. Family, fellowship, friendship, and what the kids really hammered through. Did you notice what their number one value or number two was throughout the whole set? Love. That was awesome. It made me cry. That's amazing. Love is the driving force that makes discipleship work. Love is what compels you to be in a congregation with people you might necessarily be annoyed with. They get under your skin. That bug you to no end. It's God's love that compels you to come each week to fellowship with people that have hurt you. It's love each week that compels you to take people under your arms to disciple them when maybe you know things about them that aren't good. It's love that compels us to do things that we're uncomfortable with. And that means grow, too. It was a powerful thing for me to see that it was our children that had this valued more than any other group. Did you notice that the children also had almost everything that they listed was social? That's classic. It's kids. Kids are social creatures. Who they are, their identity, everything that they will be is formed by the body. Our generations of youth will grow to reflect eventually, by the time they're 18, what the older generations have made them to be. You ever heard the phrase, monkey see, monkey do? It's true. It's very, very true. Kids will see something, what do? They mimic it. Ask my brothers. When I was growing up, I was that little brother. I was 10 years younger than both my brothers. I'm half-brother to both of them and their stepbrothers. And everything they did, I would do. And everything they did that was inappropriate for me, I would do. My brothers liked to play with matches. What would I do? I would find the matches when nobody was home, so I would get in trouble, duh, and I would play with matches. And my brothers would come home, and they would be upset at me because who would be blamed? They would, of course. Mom would never get mad at me. Pfft, he's a baby. He shouldn't know where the matches are, right? Kids pick up on everything that the older people do. Your values as an older generation will become the youth values. That's a powerful thought. It's a powerful thing to remember as a church as we're moving forward in these next few weeks, as we're going to have leadership meetings, we're going to be setting mission, we're going to be setting vision. We've got to keep in mind that everything that we do, the children will see, they will hear, and they'll experience. What you are is what they will be. And that's why on the reverse side of that paper, if you just came today and you didn't do this last week, that last question that I put, what are our ministries working towards in our youth, was supposed to be a reflective question. Do we have a set image or an ideal model of what a child that grew up in this church by the time they're 18 should look like, what their values should be? It's a question that's not often or ever asked in most churches. It's a question that when I was at seminary, we kind of had to brainstorm in terms of church leadership and stuff. It was a new concept to me, too. I had to think about it. I look back at my experience, and I shared last week with the group in the fellowship hall that that wasn't my experience. And because it wasn't my experience, I left the church. I left the church when I was about, well, I can tell you when. I was 16, and I got my driver's license. And I was gone. Gone. Most of you don't know when I was baptized. Take a guess. When did I, your associate pastor, get baptized? Well, don't tell him. Most people, and I ask kids, like, well, you must have been baptized when you were 12. Nope. I got baptized when I was 22. I found Jesus outside of our church. You might not know it, but by looking at me, I left the church because, not because I wasn't loved or felt that people wanted to be something in my life. It's, for me, it was how the church was operating in their ministries. They never thought that I could be included in anything. The big word, that's why I put up there, discipleship wasn't their model. They didn't see how somebody 15, 16, 17, 18 would fit in the way they did church. And when a kid has freedom or the ability to have freedom, they'll take it. They will go. What kind of kids are they? They're social. They will go where their friends are. They will go where they feel included, for better or for worse. Their needs are to be fellowshipped with, to be included, to be a part of something. That drives them. And as a church, we've got to live with that reality. So the ministries that we're going to be working on this next year and for the years to come in this church, this should be our driving force when we're thinking about kids. Now we know their values. They've said them loud and clear. We understand how they work. And they're good values. I think we can capitalize on what they value. Love, friends. Oh, their second one was food, right? And what is this church known for? Really good food. That is certainly one of the things that they, hands down, always wanted to have included in any discussion that we've had in the youth group and early teens. They're social people. That's what youth are. And if the church really values relationships and fellowship and these things, the ministries that we're going to, I'm going to sound like I'm repeating myself, but just in case you're not clicking with it, your current values have the makings of an awesome program here at this church. You've got everything you need to take the next step, to turn the next page in the chapter of Camarillo Church. Let me give you that visual once more. See, the values drive the mission and the vision. When we have a collective set of values and we know them cold, everything that we do as a mission, outreach, and when we set our vision has to be built on these things. Have you ever been of a part of a family or a business or another church that had so many different ministries that had no connection with each other? What's that experience like? In the business world, you're fired, right? As Donald Trump would put it, it's not working. In families, what do we call them? Dysfunctional. And in churches, there's no name for it. It's silent. It's something that you experience, but you can't really put a name to it. It's an experience that a lot of people have as a Christian. It's an experience that a lot of kids in our church and other Christian churches throughout the world have too. And by the time that when youth get to the point where they're graduating from concrete thinking to being objective and they can see things for the first time, they can be objective about who they are, who their parents are, who their church is, they'll begin to wrap their minds around their situation. And if they don't feel or see how a church body wants them to be a part of who they are and what they do, you've given them every excuse to take a step out away from you. And again, we've got the makings of that not to happen. I want to say congratulations, Camarillo Church. You've got some good values. You really do. It's a blessing. Let's build on that. Let's make mission and vision from your values. And I'd say, this is both Dennis and I speaking, I think there's two things that we can include in our value set. Having a kingdom mindset, and this big one down here, the D word, discipleship. How we go about everything we go and do from here on out, this is something we need to try to incorporate, to live by. It's a powerful thing. This is what Jesus has called us to. And there's something that I really enjoy about Christ. He never calls you to failure. Everything he's ever called you to, he's got everything ready to go if you want it. If you want to step out in faith and do this discipleship thing, maybe it's something that's, you know, not familiar to you. Well, guess what? You've got ready and willing pastors here and leaders who want to go this way too. And we can do it together. We really, really can. And the reason we can do it? Jesus. You have a friend in Jesus. You have a very powerful friend in Jesus. Again, he's not called you to failure. He's called you to life and life abundant. Life successful. He's called you to minister to the world through this model. He didn't say, get your heads together and try to think how to do it. He showed you how to do it. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for what you've done through each and every one of us, through your Spirit. You've helped us, Lord, to see who we are, what we value. Lord, as we move on to the next steps as a family, we don't want to move on without you. We don't want to move on without your Spirit and your presence and guiding. Each step of the way, Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. We want to do it how you want us to do it. We know that we're a special family and that you have special things for us to do here in this community. Lead us to these things, Lord. Give us a heart for one another. And may the values that the youth have sink in deep to each and every one of us. Love, friendship, family, even food. May these things, Lord, guide and direct us as we do your will by making disciples of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you guys leave, can you hand the paperwork that you filled out to the deacons that will be on the doors as you exit? Is that all right?
Let's stand and sing.
Tis love that makes us happy, tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. This world is full of sorrow, of sickness, death, and sin. With loving heart we'll do our part and try some soul to win. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. 'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It makes us kind, it makes us kind to others every day. And when this life is over and we are called above, our song shall be eternally of Jesus and his love. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. 'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It makes us mine, it makes us kind to others every day. Happy Sabbath.